When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Chris Sinzak and Aaron Kamara.
All right, Rockin' Pod is over, and we're back in the studio. Welcome to the Decibel Geek Podcast. My name is Aaron Kamara, joined by Chris Sinzak, and man, you look youthful again.
I know. I don't look like a 70-year-old man ready to keel over.
Right, yeah, you're like rejuvenated. It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, have the weight of the world off my shoulders, finally.
But what a weekend it was.
What I remember of it was great.
Yeah? You know what's always a bummer about Rockin' Pod, though, is like right now everybody else is getting to listen to all the other podcasters, all the cool interviews they did, all the fun that they had while they were recording at the Rockin' Pod Expo, but we don't get to record anything at
We
Rockin'
did do
Pod.
One this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did. We sat down with Rick Rule.
Yep.
Maybe we'll tack that on to the end
of
this or
something.
Yeah,
let's do that.
I got it. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, we can do that.
So that was our one
interview.
Well, we were on stage with Michael Sweet.
That was fun.
That was really awesome. Yeah. I never got to hear any of that back. Do we get to release that?
I think the audio didn't happen for
that. Oh, no.
Andy said something about the USB drive getting unplugged when Roxy Blue did their set.
Yeah.
So I think whoever was running sound unplugged it and it didn't plug it back in.
Oh, dang.
So Julian lost his panel with the residency guys, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So
every year there's something happens where certain audio doesn't get brought over.
That's
so,
a bummer.
Yeah, I think you can watch it. I think somebody uploaded it to YouTube.
Yeah, nice.
Hopefully it's up there.
All right, well, I guess look us up on YouTube.
But this should also be a lesson to those of you that didn't come. If you want to make sure you see everything, come to it next year.
Yeah, because, I mean, that whole thing with Michael Sweet was awesome. But, you know, since we didn't get to record anything at Rockin' Pod, this is our Rockin' Pod recap. We're just going to talk about the weekend from memory. You know, we'll have a lot of fun with that. But, of course, before we do all that, we got to take care of our business. How do we do that? Well, our reviews, iTunes. It's not iTunes anymore, is it? It's Apple
Music
Podcasts.
Or Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts now. We got to get used to saying that. I'm still so used to iTunes all the time, but we also get them on Podchaser, and we get recommendations on Facebook. This week, we've got, let's see, got one from Apple Music and one from iTunes.
Facebook.
Yeah, see, I'm never going to break that habit. All right, first one comes to us from Suzanne Petrucci, the love child. Simple, sweet, 5 stars, goes like this. These guys seem like they really enjoy what they do, and the show never disappoints. That's it.
That works.
That's good. I like that. And the next one comes to us from Nayrand and Kavura. And it's a Facebook recommendation. It goes like this. These guys are awesome. The show is both informative and hysterical, and they do amazing things for the rock and metal community.
I have a little secret on that person.
You do?
That's actually Buddy Baker.
I know. In his secret identity.
Yeah, who we saw at Rockin' Pod.
So, yeah, those are our recommendations for the week. That's cool. We appreciate it. And we actually released an episode last week. I can't believe we were able to pull it off.
A couple of weeks ago.
Has it been a couple of weeks ago?
About a week and a half.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, we're getting back to business now because Rockin' Pod season's over
for a little while. We'll be back on a regular schedule pretty much from this point forward.
We really got to step it up now, right?
Yeah, we do.
All right.
So the Geeks of the Week, these are people that shared on Facebook, retweeted on Twitter a week and a half ago's episode titled New Noise 5. Geeks of the Week this week are Scott Crouch, Dan Nation, Bill Elam, Ridiculous Rock Record Review, Simon Catt, Jay Shablewski, James West, Kristen Schimbeck, CGCM Podcast, Trevor McDougall, Jeffrey Mendenhall, Mike Parnell, David Glenn, Darren Parkin, Adam Cox, Shane Hebert, Mikhail Burrell, Warren Edward LaRue Baker. Yes, I said your name again. Tell your wife. Mike Grabowski, Aaron Baker, Robin the Hood, Ann Neal, J.J. Mack, Coxie, Jacob Erickson, Eladio, and, of course, the Mooger Fooger.
That's right. Those are the people that shared and retweeted last week's episode. You want to become an honorary Geek of the Week. You do the same with this week's episode, our sweet review and recommendation that we're going to give you for Rockin' Pie this past year. Yeah. We want you to show up next year, and we're going to tell you all about the fun we had this last weekend. And then this is our last Slacker episode, and then we really got to kick it into gear.
Yeah, what we just read, that's our notes for this week.
Yeah.
I could get used to this. All right, so how do we want to do this?
I don't know, man. So much happened, you know. So much was going on the whole weekend. We met so many cool people. I don't even know where to begin. I guess I'll just start with Sean Cullen. He was the first person I seen. He came into town days early, and he came in from Wyoming. Sean Cullen, he's a big rock and roll fan, a big podcast fan, and I met him downtown. We ended up having a couple of beers and ate some chicken wings and hung out, and then that night was when I saw you down at the venue, and we went in and said, no, this stage needs to be bigger.
All right. Yeah, that was Thursday. This was the day before the pre-party, and I just went down to the hotel because I knew Ken Mills and a few other folks were going to be there, and went and saw Ken and Christine the Button Queen, and David Hudson from Digital Kill the Radio Star was there, and we had some drinks together, and then you showed up, Sean showed up, who was it, the couple that came in from Pennsylvania, Stephen Javorski and his wife. So we had a good little gathering there just Thursday night at the hotel bar. And
Boy, so happy to see Ken Mills.
Yeah, me too. He looks great. Yeah. He's done a lot on his Amazing. Weight loss, and he looks just so much happier now. So I'm very, very happy for him.
And, proud of him, too.
Yeah, and then so then turns out the ballroom was actually open and starting to be set up.
We're bugging Chris. Can we go see it? Can we go see it? He's like, I don't think it's open. I don't think it's set up. And we're like, you know, a couple beers in. We're like, let's go down and look. So we sneak down there. We pop in, and Christine's like, this door is not locked. So in we go. You know, they're starting to set up the tables and everything. And, you know, we were able to get in there and like, stage seems kind of small for rock and roll.
Yeah. And then we told them, you know, you need to basically almost double the size of the stage. And
we're going to need some pyrotechnics. We're going to need some serpent statues. And they didn't have none of those things, but they did make the stage bigger.
Yeah, they made it clear to me, no pyro. I'm not going to have a great white situation. But yeah, that was Thursday, you know, pretty low key. And then Friday for me was, you know, that's when the craziness really started. I got down there probably about 10 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock in the morning with my brother who had flown in from California to help out. And, you know, we showed up at the venue, and not long after that, you know, the 8-Ball and their crew came in to set up all the PA and the lighting and sound and everything. And it was just on from there. You know, we started doing setup. We did as much expo setup as we could. My wife came down and helped out with that. And my friend Rick came in from Ohio, and he was a great help. But yeah, that was a great thing about this thing every year is everybody's so willing to pitch in and help out. Yeah. So it's really a DIY type situation. But that worked out good. David Glenn, who's been a longtime listener and a VIP, I know you listen to the Patreon, he came down and he helped us do some setup, move some tables around. And yeah, Friday, most of the day was just getting as much done as we could ahead of time for Saturday, just to have it done. Well, then we did the podcast mixer, which we're out in the foyer for the ballroom, and that was great. You know, it was nice seeing everybody again, and everybody seemed to have fun. A lot of alcohol got sold.
Oh, yeah.
So that was good.
I warned that bartender. I said, man, you better keep them tickets coming because this is a beer-drinking crowd.
Yeah. They must have made thousands on booze alone that weekend. Oh, my God. So many people were drinking. It was crazy. And then I saw Ian Wadley pretty early on, and he showed up, and then he's like, oh, Ralph's, you know, gone through like 7 delays on his flight now. Right. And it was looking like Ralph may not come. And then,
yeah, we were scared.
And then finally he got on the flight. He didn't actually show up till after the pre-party concert was over. I hate that he missed it, but I was just glad he finally made it in. But yeah, it was, I mean, just, you know, and then, you know, and then hanging out in the green room before the residency show, you know, 8-Ball had a great set. Lipstick Generation had a great set.
Those bands were great. Both of them. Lipstick Generation was super cool. You guys know Greg Troyan from the show. And, man, I love that song, The Flash, so much. And there was people down there after the show was over that was singing that song. Mm. It was pretty neat, you know, to finally get to see those guys play after being friends with Greg for a while now. And, man, they did not disappoint. So this was their big return with their new style. And, man, it suits them perfectly, and they sounded great. I bought 2 CDs that night.
Oh, did you?
I bought 2 more from 8-Ball because they kicked ass,
too. Cool.
Talk about good classic rock-sounding band.
Yeah.
You know, these guys really... They know what they like, and that's what they do. You know, and that works out perfectly because that's what everybody else was digging too. Liked 8-Ball a lot. They've got 2 CDs out, so I recommend 8-Ball quite a bit.
Yeah, they were great, Lipstick. And they were awesome guys to work with because you know they brought in all that PA and lighting and everything, and an incredibly professional setup. I mean, just they came in on a bus with a trailer and everything. I was like, wow, you know, these guys aren't kidding around, and they were just amazing guys to work with, and their whole crew was just wonderful to work with. And then we you know, hung out in the green room area. We just have Michael Sweet had shown up and several of the guests, Brian Forsyth from Kix had shown up, the residency guys. And that was one of the most fun places of the night, was just hanging out back there with everybody and seeing them all catch up with each other. And I got a cool picture of Tony Harnell had not made it in yet, but I got pretty much the residency and the other guests on a cool picture of that. So, and I posted that on the expo page. So that was cool. And then the residency show was just amazing.
It was good, man. And even before that, you know, while you're in the green room, I'm still out hanging out in the lobby with people. And like you said, Rick was there. Mm-hmm. Super awesome guy, man. I love him so much. Him and my wife are just best buddies. Every time they get together, those two are just hamming it up together.
Well, watch out
there.
For him.
Yeah, I know that.
He'll try to steal
one
away
eye on
from
him all
you.
The time. But, man, nobody makes me laugh as hard as Rick.
No, he's one of the funniest people I know.
And really, that night coming in, one of the first people I seen was Kristen, Mighty K. You know, everybody knows her from the Geeks of the Week and all that all the time.
Yeah, it was great
to
see her.
One of our best supporters. And she came in by herself, you know, and she didn't really have nobody there she knew, you know, so she was just kind of hanging out. But I thought, how cool for her to come, you know, not know anybody here except for really you and me.
Yeah.
And that's just through the show. But she came and hung out and made friends and saw all kinds of cool stuff. And I just had a blast hanging out with her, too.
Yeah, it was great to see her. I'm so glad she could make it in. It was kind of touch and go on whether she was going to make it or not. But yeah, I was real happy to finally meet her. And she's great. Yeah, so the, you know, the residency thing, that was a great show. A great cover songs with great guests.
And, oh, it was out of this world. It was so good.
Yeah, we had... Brian Forsyth did That Smell by Skynyrd, and I did a Bad Company song, Can't Get Enough of Your Love, with them.
Something like that, man.
I'm trying to remember it all. It's a blur.
Yeah, I drank a few beers that night myself.
But, I mean, the highlight for me was Michael Sweet getting on stage with those guys.
Oh, man, that I remember.
That was...
Yeah, he did Ain't Talking About Love by Van Halen, which, where else are you going to see Michael Sweet up on stage rocking out a Van Halen song, Only Rockin' Pod, you know? And then gets up there right after that and just nails Soldiers Under Command.
Yeah.
Just nails it. It was so good.
And he was really impressed with the residency guys on how they pulled off that song. It's not an easy song to play. There's a lot of tough stuff in that song to play. And Jack Gibson from Exodus was playing bass for that song. So it's a very unique situation to see all those guys on one stage playing that stuff.
And everybody smiling from ear to ear.
Yeah, it was I had people thanking me in the crowd. I'm like, thank those guys, but I'm glad I could help bring those people together.
I think
sure.
Phil even told you he should have charged you more to learn that song.
Yeah, he texted me on Thursday. He was like, I should fucking charge you more for making me learn this song. He's like, I forgot how many guitar things are going all over the place in this song.
Yeah.
But yeah, all the guests were really complimentary of the residency guys and just loved playing with them. Those guys, they can handle anything, I'm convinced, you know. And, it was, just a great, great show and a great way to kick off the weekend, and everybody had fun. And then I don't remember exactly what happened after I was up late, but I think I got to sleep about 1 o'clock in the morning that night. It was pretty late.
Yeah. That's always the tough thing about Rockin' Pod, because you're having such a good time on Friday night, but you know you got to get up and do your thing early the next morning. So you try to pace yourself, but you're having so much fun, it's really kind of hard to do that.
Yeah, I only had like 3 beers over the span of maybe 8 hours. That I purposely held back on trying to party too hard on Friday night, just because I knew I didn't want to feel like shit the next day.
You know what my biggest disappointment is from Rockin' Pod? When I woke up on Sunday morning and got back here to the house and was unpacking all my stuff and found a beer ticket. An unused beer ticket.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know, it made me sad.
The hotel thanks you, though.
Yeah, I know.
So then let's go into Saturday. I mean, how did your day start Saturday?
my day started on Saturday with putting on some shiny ass clothes and some platform high tops.
Your shoes were the subject of much discussion throughout the weekend, and how the hell you were able to walk in those things.
It was easy at first, but I tell you, by the end of the day, man, I was like, I can't wait for the podcast jam to be over, because as soon as it's over, these shoes are coming off.
I bet your feet were killing you by the end of the day.
But it was fun. You know, it was fun. I like dressing up at Rock and Pod. I like making everybody feel like, you know, they're at a rock and roll party. And
right.
This is the place to be.
Yeah. And then for me, Saturday, it started early. I went to bed at 1. I got back up at 7. And I was down at the ballroom by 8 o'clock, and there was already people down there, like, waiting for me. I was like, oh, God. I was like, I thought I'd be the only person. And then it was just a mad dash for the next 2 hours to get everything set up. And my wife and daughter were driving in from where I live, and they picked up Robert Bentley to bring him in because he couldn't find a ride. And so they picked him up so he could come down and put on his demon makeup and costume and everything. And once they showed up, we just got everything organized, and Joe, my co-organizer, came down, helped out, set up. I mean, my stories are going to be much more boring than Aaron's, because all my stuff revolves around basically all the setup and the work behind the scenes. So yeah. You're probably better to lead off this than me. But
I don't know. From my end, I guess I came down and got my itinerary from you.
Right.
And then get the itinerary. I get with Tracy. I get with Andy, who's setting up the sound and everything, making sure it's ready. And then I go back down and finish up with her, and then come back down, and now it's pretty much time to get it going.
Yeah.
And, man, you know, just to come in there and see all the podcasters, all our friends, all the guys, most of them that I haven't seen since last year.
Right.
You know, all together having a good time. Everybody's hanging out. Everybody's getting ready for the day. Mm-hmm. And that's always a cool moment, too, because there's like a calm before the storm almost, yeah. You know, where everybody's getting ready. They're getting ready. It's almost time. They're getting ready.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's time. You know, get up on stage. Make the announcement, it's time for Rock and Pod 2019. And everybody cheers because everybody's ready to have a good time.
Right.
And then really, I mean, from there, it's kind of a blur, you know, because then it's, for me, it's making sure I'm on stage at the right times, mm-hmm. which that's tricky because there's a million things I want to look at and a million people I want to talk to. So I'd get up on stage, make my announcement, and then run down and see as many things as I could and talk to as many people mm-hmm. as I could, and then keep my eye on the time and then make sure I'm back in time for the next thing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the things that were going on the stage were super cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we kicked it all off with Ken Mills mm-hmm. doing the It's All About the Bass.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing I had to introduce on stage. We got Ken Mills up there, and man, he knocked it out of the park with them guys. He set the bar high to start out the show.
Yeah, it was a good panel, and it had Jack Gibson and John Billings from the Monkees and Jay McDowell from BR549. It was great to have those guys there. That kind of leads me to, for next year, having the hard rock and metal artists is cool, but I do want to expand it out to kind of cover the whole genre of rock and roll,
right,
and give
sure.
a little bit more variety. And they helped with that.
I said that day, you know, where else are you going to see the bass player from the Monkees on stage with the bass player from Exodus talking about playing bass guitar?
Right.
You know, where else are you going to get that?
Yeah, it was a cool panel, and that was Ken's idea totally. Yeah. So I appreciate him for that. And big thank you to Ken Mills. You know, did a lot of design work behind the scenes for me. He helped me pull a lot of stuff together. The two big green banners that were behind the signing tables, Ken designed those
awesome.
And did an amazing job. So I have a mad amount of respect for Ken.
And see, this is always the part of the Rockin' Pod where we sit down and talk about it, and I go, oh, man, I never went back and got my picture taken with the big green things. And, oh, man, I missed that. No, I didn't get to say hi to that person.
Yeah. I didn't get a single autograph.
Yeah. I do the same thing every year. I bring a stack of CD sleeves with me. Say, okay, the days before, I'm going, okay, I got to bring this one. I got to bring this one. I got to bring this one. You know where they end up? In the hotel room.
No.
Not one of them gets signed because I'm too damn busy.
Any photos I have with any of the guests were taken by somebody else just because let's get a picture.
Yep.
I'm thankful they did that because at least I got a few. But, yeah, I mean, all the guests started rolling in around 10 o'clock, and it was cool. And but, yeah, everybody just – I mean, overall, just a good day. I mean, Erie Vaughn was not feeling well when he showed up. He barely slept. He's got back problems. But it was funny.
I was actually surprised after talking to him that he showed up, but he said didn't want to miss it, you know, no matter what kind of shape he was in.
But
Erie Vaughn was there.
Yeah, but not long after he got there, he was just smiling the whole day.
Yeah.
Like, he actually had a good time, and I actually did get a picture with him, which was cool. But yeah, we had, you know, some great raffle items that we had with, you know, the Dave Ellison bass. We had the Tesla signed guitar, two guitars from Kramer, one that we used for the cosplay contest, and Night V was the other one.
Yeah.
FNA Records donated a guitar, and all of Roxy Blue signed that with some of their CDs. And then Joe Polo from Podcast Rock City, I got to give a big amount of respect for him because he brought in a Dean Vendetta guitar and brought in six different guitar stands because I didn't have any guitar stands for these guitars. I was and he just opened a music store in Villa Rica, Georgia, and I'll try to put a link of that in the show notes because if you're in that area, go check out his store and buy some stuff.
Definitely.
But that Dean Vendetta, we turned into like the guest's signature guitar.
That thing was badass by the time everybody signed it.
And then thanks to Rick for that, because I was like, can you go pester all the guests and get them to sign this? And he did. It took him all day, but he got it. He got most of them to sign it. So that was great. I'm just trying to think of the order of things. And we had, you know, live podcast session room that had several shows do. The Ages of Rock did one. The Cobras and Fire did one. Digital Kill of the Radio Star did one. There's another one in between. But then Rock and Metal Combat closed out the day with theirs, which I heard was standing room only for theirs.
That's what I thought was pretty cool about having that separate little room for that, where, like, if you're a fan of a specific podcast that you're coming to see and you want to see a live recording of said podcast, you just sat in that little room. It was like a little bitty movie theater. These guys are up on stage, and every time I walked through, every podcast that was in there, because I'm bebopping all over the place, always had a good crowd in
there. That's good. And then we had a secondary room that for the podcaster education track, so registered podcasters could go in there and get tips and tricks on how to improve your sound, get a bigger audience, and had some great speakers for that. Had Raquel Figlow, who, you know, talked about Instagram mostly, about building your following on there. Loose Cannon from Cobras and Fire.
That's a regret of mine, too. I missed that.
He had a great presentation.
Heard it was good.
Jamie Tucker, who does a segment called What the Tech for Channel 2 News, he did a great presentation. Mike Stewart, he started off the day, and he's in the business of basically teaching you how to start up in the first place. If you have no idea what to do to start a podcast, he gave you all the information. And Joshua Sui, he's an audio engineer. He helps do some editing for podcasts, and he showed tips and tricks on how to do better with that. So that was an experiment this year. We had never done an education track before, and I think it went off really well. And I definitely want to
really feedback from it.
I certainly want to keep that as part of the planning for next year too. But yeah, with big ballroom and then two other small rooms right next to it, it was actually a good little cluster of rooms. You only had to just walk across the room, and it was great. A ton of great vendors, ton of vinyl CDs, everything, you know, memorabilia. We had Phil Elliott from Creatures of the South, who had like 3 8-foot tables filled with Kiss stuff, like floor to ceiling. It was, he told me he was going to bring a lot, and I was like, you weren't kidding, man. I mean,
people were super impressed with some of the stuff he had over there that you just don't really see.
Real rare stuff in there, too. I did flip through his vinyl while he was doing setup on Friday. I'm like, damn, dude. I was like, I got to get away from your table or I'm going to end up broke.
Right. I ran into several people that were at Rock and Pod that said that they had found the holy grail of their personal Kiss collection, something they've been looking for a long time, and they found it.
Our friend Logan bought a Creatures of the Night tour book, which is really hard to find. You know, those things go for big money, too. That's a holy grail for me, is to get one of those. But I think they're always like at least $300 whenever you want to get one. But yeah, he had a lot of great stuff. 8Ball had a great table set up with a custom motorcycle with their logo on it, which was badass.
Inside the building.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, what is this motorcycle? But it's got the 8Ball logo on the side of it.
Yeah, the hotel people kind of freaked out when they brought that in. They're like, you didn't tell us you're bringing a motorcycle in here. Does that have gas in it? And I had to get David from 8Ball. I'm like, go talk to them. He's like, no, there's no gas in it. It's just a display motorcycle. He's like, the battery's not even hooked up to it. So like, oh, okay. But they were freaked out at first. I think they were worried he was going to start revving it or something on their carpet.
That's how we end the expo, is we do donuts in your ballroom.
But Ian and Ralph said in their recap, I listened to theirs today, and I guess the overall thing is it was just a good vibe all weekend.
Always. You
know, everybody seemed to have just a good time.
Talking about the vendors, I did something this year that in years past I was never able to do. And that's spend some money.
Yeah.
Like the last couple of years, and I'm always so busy because I'm hosting, and I love hosting. You know, I love being a part of it and helping it guide the time-wise where it's got to go and everything. Mm-hmm. But to not be able to, like, when it's over, go, oh, man, I didn't buy anything. Well, man, there was a CD vendor there that had all kinds of stuff that I was looking for. I found some Holy Grails myself, yeah. And I spent some money this year, but I'm happy with everything I got.
And to give that guy a plug, because I'm hoping he'll come back next year, it's called Glory Hound Music. He had like 3 full tables of CDs.
It was awesome. There was some stuff in there that I'm like, I can't believe this. Sold. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you say, talk about the weird stuff you could find. I bought 2 Tough VHS tapes. One of them.
So you're the one.
Yeah, one of them is labeled Tough O Negative. It's a song that they did off their Religious Fix album, but I guess it's tuned down to be more like a Type O Negative song.
Huh.
I don't know. I don't have a VCR. I didn't think that far ahead.
You have to pick one up.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find a VCR somewhere now.
Wow. That's
crazy.
But
yeah, talk about weird, weird stuff that is like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, sold. I'll take it.
But yeah, it was like just it seemed to go off really well. I had a lot of compliments on how well organized it was, how it stayed on time for the most part. And
Tracy, holy shit,
she did amazing.
The way she set it up, where the guests knew where to be, when to be, top notch.
Yeah, like, that was her idea.
It could have been no easier for anybody involved. You know, for them to look at the back of their little laminate and know exactly where they were supposed to be at exactly the right time.
Yep.
I've never seen it move so smooth or anything like this, for that matter, run as smooth as that, all based off of that plan.
Yeah.
And it worked to perfection.
It was a great idea. So, like, yeah, one side had their schedule with all the times for who they were talking to, and then you flip it over and it's got a little map of where all the podcasters are sitting.
Because when Gary Corbett first came in, he's like, so where am I supposed to be and when am I supposed to be
there? He just walked in without getting his badge.
And then she brings the badge and flips it over for him, and he goes, oh, cool. And he didn't have no problems after that. It was so simple.
Yeah, that was a great idea on her part. And she, you know, she's really my right-hand person for this thing, because, you know, there's so many different facets with the, and especially this year, you had the live podcast sessions. You had Luce Cannon, who is involved with the podcast, doing the education track, and also another education track guy with Lou Lombardi, who came in from New York, and he's another podcaster that had interviews set up. So she's got to juggle that, the education track, the live podcast sessions, the stage panel sessions, the signing tables, and make all of those things work in harmony. I would have lost my mind doing it, and she's done it. She's done an amazing job of that for the last 3 years, and I don't know what I would do without Tracy. She is an incredible person, and
there's an art form to it for sure.
There really is. I mean, just being able to, and she likes doing it. I'm like, I'm glad you do, because I sure as hell wouldn't want to do that, because it would drive me bonkers. But like
herding heavy metal cats.
And she messaged me the other day. She's like, let me know when you want to sit down and talk. I've already got ideas for next year. So so we're going to, you know, every year we're going to try to streamline it more, where it just runs like a well-oiled machine. But it did run really well this year, especially compared to last year was great, but there were little hiccups last year. But this year everything seemed to go mostly pretty smooth.
I had so much fun.
Yeah.
It's hard to even remember. I mean, hanging out with the Mooger Fooger and Mrs. Fooger. I mean, they were having a blast.
Yeah, they're 3-time participants, too.
Yeah. Jay Shablewski.
Yeah, Jay-Z.
Oh, man, how awesome to run into him. And he comes up and goes, hey, I never donated to the show. Here's $20.
Yeah.
And I'm going, hey, man, you know, you ain't got to give me no money. He's like, no, no, you need to take this because, you know, this is my donation to Rockin' Pod. This is my donation to the show. And I'm like, well, I hope you realize I'm going to spend this on beer. And he goes, yeah, exactly, man. Go buy yourself. No, where's Syntac? Where's Chris? Here, man, $20. I was like, wow, you just bought yourself a VIP package. So we need to get him on that list.
And then he also, you know, Baco had advertised having somebody come guest on their show. And he had, this was on Facebook. And he had told, he's like, well, can I pay for it at Rockin' Pod? And he, man is true to his word. I'm sitting behind the entry table and he goes, here's $50. I'm like, what is this for? He's like, this is for the expo, but I get to guest on Cobras and Fire now. I was like, okay.
Nice.
So yeah, so he'll be on that show too.
Look forward to hearing that one.
But yeah, Jay's a great guy.
And I love him.
Yeah, he's always has a good time. And but yeah, to have people come back year after year is tells me we're doing something right.
Right. So. And I think my favorite thing as far as like guests like that goes is like the people that I ran into that were just there for the rock and roll. They had no idea what a podcast even was.
There's several people.
And
like
so I'm like catching myself out in the cool kids smoking area, drinking beer, talking to people and saying, well, if you love this band and you love this band and you love this band and this is your kind of music, mm-hmm. you're in the right place. But do you listen to podcasts? And they're like, what? What's a podcast? So you say, well, you know, it's like, and I'd use ours as an example always, of course, and say, you know, think about like Headbangers Ball. If that was like a radio show mm-hmm. for an hour that comes out every single week and it's free and you just, you know, stream it or download it or however, you know, and there's all the places you can do it. And everybody's just like, wow, oh, that sounds cool. Yeah, I would definitely listen to something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's a real thing. You can listen to it right now. And so there was actually quite a few people from the Nashville area mm-hmm. and even a little further out that were coming to see Michael Sweet.
Yep.
Or they were coming to see the Rock and Roll Residency
Ellefson, yeah.
or coming to see Ellefson. And, you know, got to turn a lot of people onto podcasts that were just into the music that had no idea that there was even a thing like this out there.
Yeah. And at Toomey, I talked to Toomey on the phone yesterday, and he said he was sitting at his, because his table is like one of the first ones by the door. And he's sitting there just doing setup, and this couple walks in, and they're just kind of staring at him. And he's like, hey, and he thought they were listeners. He's like, hey, how's it going? And they were like, so what exactly is this thing? And they were like, they actually had won tickets off Metalworks.
Nice.
So, but they didn't. They just knew that Michael Sweet and Ellefson were coming.
Yeah.
And so Josh was like, well, I just went through the whole explanation. I'm like, oh, wow, this is like really cool. We had no idea this existed. So,
yeah.
And that's always, and I tell people, I'm like, you know, I love having Michael Sweet, David Ellefson, all Brian Forsyth, all these, you know, Erie Vaughn, Jason Beeler, all these people. But as a music podcaster, they're brought in to bring in people that have no clue what a podcast is to get turned on to them.
Because it totally works.
We do have an ulterior motive.
Yeah.
It is cool to meet all these guys, but it's also a way to bring people in the door that have no idea what these shows are and get more people interested in them. So
I love it to see it when it's actually in the process of working, like when
yeah.
people are there going, this is amazing. I need to start listening to podcasts.
Yeah. And that's always the hope, you know, is that it turns more people onto them. And, you know, as more people get onto podcasts, more people come out next year and
right.
know, kind of feeds on it. It's a beneficial thing for artists, for podcasters, for music fans. It works
sure.
for everybody. There's different elements that benefit each
it's
other.
It's a full circle
it
thing.
Really is.
You know, because the podcasts benefit the artists because they're helping get the word out. The artists benefit the podcast because they're drawing people in too.
Yep.
And vice versa. There was a lot of people there just to see their favorite podcasters, which
yep.
I always get a kick out of that, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, it's one of the things where it's like, oh, you know, the rock stars really love Rock and Pod because they just get their butts kissed all
day. Well, they kind of do.
You know, because all they do is they show up, they do like 5 or 6 interviews where everybody loves them, everybody wants to talk to them. Nobody's going to ask just the cheap radio questions
yeah.
because you're on the schedule to be interviewed.
Yeah, it's well
These
thought
out
stuff.
People actually care enough to really think about what they're asking you. And then on top of that, you know, you've got the people that will then, you know, come there for the vendors, you
right.
know, or the vendors got so much cool stuff, or and then they get turned onto it. It's a full, you know, cycle thing where everybody's benefiting off each other and nobody
yeah.
really loses.
Well, and the most funny part is it wasn't even intended to be a convention to start with. You know, it just sort of fell into place the way it was. You know, it was just going to be a podcaster meetup, and then it's like, well, we have to fund people getting here, so. And then if people are paying for us to get here, they should be able to come. And then
right.
if they're coming, they're going to get bored after looking at us for so long. So what about record vendors? So bring record vendors in. And
yeah.
then, well, what about all these people, these cool people that Aaron and I have interviewed over the years? And a lot of them live here. So, and I was expecting like to get 90% no from all these. And they're like, sure, I'll come out. Why not?
Right.
Like, come out, sign autographs, do a couple of interviews. And the first year was completely an experiment. Nobody knew what to expect. And then last year, I'm getting all these guys I grew up watching on MTV thanking me for putting it together,
right. yeah, yeah.
going, you don't realize mainstream media doesn't give a shit about us anymore, and you guys do.
Right.
So you guys are the new media for what we do. And that just bled into this year where I got, you know, I get, yeah, and Michael Sweet, you know, one of our headline guests, does podcast interviews regularly. Like, he loves listening to them. And you know, he was on board. It wasn't a hard sell to get him to come.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I'd love to be part of this. Why not? And that was one of the highlights for me was, you know, him and his wife just, they were just amazed with how it went off. And they were like, and we do a lot of conventions. This one flowed great from start to finish. We got, you know, we made some money. We talked to a lot of fans and they were like, we want to come back next year. Like, we really had a good time.
Nice.
And then like his wife even said, she's like, you need to stay in touch with me because I can help you with this in the future. I can help get more guests and other business relationships to make this thing bigger. So I made some great connections this year.
Because everybody has such a good time that they want to be a part of it. I mean, I'd be lying if I told you I didn't enjoy, you know, people coming up to me all day going, man, I love Decibel Geek Podcast. I love what you do. I know it must happen to you 100 times too that day. And man, that doesn't get old.
No.
You know? It never hurts my feelings to hear that.
No. You know, we didn't start the show for that reason. We just, you know, we just wanted to have fun talking about the bands we love. But it's a great byproduct of that other people enjoy it. You know,
to get to hear that in person.
Sure.
You know, from people that you think about, because it's just right now, it's just a couple of dudes hanging out in a room recording, you know,
right.
In our little studio. And, you know, you don't really think about how many people are out there listening to it. But then when you start meeting them in person and you get 50 people come up to you in one day and tell you different reasons why they love your show or the different things they love about it. And it's like, wow, it kind of hits home. It's like, wow, this is really something, you know. And then look around at Rockin' Pod and they're like, wow, this all kind of started with just me and Chris, you know, doing a podcast, you know, and I didn't even know what a podcast was. And look where it ended up being. You know? And it's
never could have predicted
no,
it.
Never.
Yeah, it's, yeah, eight years later, yeah, I never thought it would, you know, blossom into all of this, you know. And, you know,
we're doing it, man. We're saving rock and roll just like we said we would.
Either that or I just have massive OCD and everything I do, I have to just do to the nth degree. So, you know, eventually Rock and Pod will be held in a stadium or something like that. Who knows?
I can't wait for that. Ali, if I only have one request for next year, I need to be cloned.
Right.
So I can host the show and also partake in all the fun going on everywhere else.
What did you end up doing Saturday night? Because I didn't really see you after the show. We should talk about the Ellison show, too.
Well, yeah, because I guess...
And the podcaster jam.
Right, yeah, because there's all kinds of stuff still going on.
Yeah, getting off track.
This is the expo, and so then... I guess if you want to talk about Ellison, that was really kind of one of the first people I saw when I came back on Friday to check into the room. I got there a little earlier, and I just came by myself, and I had some bags and stuff, and I was going to drop off stuff at the room and then go back and get the wife and then come back. And so I get the room all situated, get the key, go up, drop off some stuff. I'm running back down to the car to grab some more things. And I get turned around in the lobby of where I'm going, coming down the stairs. And who's there to help me find my way? Dave Ellison. It's like, what?
That's surreal.
He's like, yeah, man, I think the lobby's this way. Is that where you're going? I'm like, yeah, that's where I'm going. He's like, come on, let's go. And it's like, man, Dave Ellison's holding the freaking door open for me and showing me where the hell the lobby's at. This is amazing. You know, and Rocket Pot hasn't even started yet. But he was a nice guy.
He was great all weekend. Him and Tom and Melody, I had a great time talking to them all weekend. And no issues. I mean, they seem to have a great time too. But with Ellison, you know, they did the music business and the gear panel on stage and did a great job with that. And, you know, also earlier in the day, you know, David did an interview with WRLT, a local FM station here, before the expo even started, and that went really well. And then at that night, though, we did the Bastery show.
That's pretty cool.
With and Tyson Leslie, got to give mad props to him for setting that show up, because he was just like, I'll handle this and just let me do all the work on this. So he lined up all the musicians, the rare hair players, and
you guys remember Tyson because he's been on the show a few times with us.
Yeah, and the he does these rare hair shows around town, and it's like a different lineup of musicians for every song doing metal covers, and he lined it up, and Ellison did a rehearsal at a studio in downtown. The night before, and when he came back for the pre-party show, and I got to catch up with him. I said, "Did the rehearsal go okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, there's a bunch of great players. You know, it's going to be fine."
That's what everybody says. You know, you want to find good backup players, do a show in Nashville.
Yeah, there's no shortage of good players here.
No way.
So then the Ellison show happened, and that's kind of how it went. We had just different lineups of people playing with us. Some of the residency guys played with him. Yeah. E.T. Brown, a good friend of ours, you know, he got to sing a song with them, and. Yeah, it went off really well, and like everything sounded great. There was some Polaris got played. Cells. There was some great songs being played. Tony Harnell got up and did Green Man Alishi with them.
That
sounded
amazing.
Just like Rob Halford.
Oh man, that was so good!
Incredible. Just that dude's pipes are insane. I mean, just one of him and like honestly, we have two of the best rock singers in history with Michael Sweet and Tony Harnell over the weekend, and they were both amazing. And but yeah, they did Peace Sells at the end of the show, and like all the musicians came up on stage. Thank God we had a big stage for that, right?
Yeah.
And And our friend Ralph Vieira from Rockabilly Combat, he jumps up on stage and starts singing with him. I'm glad nobody threw him off the stage for that.
Why would he? He's the lead singer of Thrash or Die. Right, true. He belonged up there, too.
But he's like, I got to perform with David Ellison for 3.5 seconds, and it was worth it.
Make the most of it.
But yeah, that show was kind of the capper for Saturday. But so what happened to you after the show? I forgot to say. Well, Aaron performed earlier in the night.
Yeah, because you were supposed to. Because
I had to take my daughter home.
We did the podcast jam.
Yeah, I was supposed to do a Ramones song.
Oh, man, this was a little rough because, like, I got off the stage after my final announcement thing, and I told myself I'm not going to drink any beer till after we're done with Michael Sweet. You know, that was my timeline. That's when I was going to – the wife said 5. I said as soon as we're done with Michael Sweet because I didn't want to sit up there with Michael Sweet and be stinking like beer, right. You know, talking to him. To be respectful.
Right.
And so as soon as we were done with Michael Sweet, straight to the bar. Because now I know I've got a limited amount of time before I got to get up on stage and sing with a band that we've never even discussed how this is supposed to go. And so my voice is pretty well shot by this point.
I can
from
imagine.
Being on stage all day. That's something I didn't really consider when I volunteered to do a song.
Yeah, after so a day of like, talking.
Oh, shit, I've been up on this microphone all day long. My voice is already feeling it, and now I got to go sing.
All right.
So I'm just thinking, okay, well, these guys know to have my back and sing backups for me. You know, they'll help me out. And then that was the only thing we got to discuss before getting up on stage is me going, hey, you guys got my back on background vocals, right? Yeah, yeah, okay. Boom, up on stage we are. You know, we rock out 2000 Man by Kiss. So much fun, yeah. Man. Baco was awesome. Jody Habnot ended up joining us on bass. BJ Kahuna's over there, not backing me up on vocals. got a microphone standing right in front of him. He's just rocking out on his guitar. He don't even know it's there. And Lee McCormick holding it all down on drums, man. And it was so much fun, and it got recorded. I'm going to send it to Rock and Ron. He's going to put it on Decibel Geek TV, but I got to figure out how to get it off my phone and get it in.
Well, I'm glad
hands.
You got to be part of that this year. So,
but people were bummed that you weren't there.
I know.
Because I went looking for you. Like, they were going to hold it up for you.
Oh,
and
sorry.
I ran looking for you, and they're like, he had to run home. And I was like, I came back and told them, no,
well,
it ain't happening.
I'll be honest. There was two things. Well, first, my daughter, who had worked her ass off all day, she was exhausted.
Big shout out to Hannah Sinzak.
And my wife was getting, she was like, well, I'll take her home. At that point in the day, dude, I was like, I have got to get out of this building for a little while. I'm like, I'm sorry I got to miss the jam, but like for my own headspace, right. I needed a break. That's why I left. And to Lee and everybody that was part of the jam, I'm sorry I didn't get to do it this year. I will play next year. It's just, I had to get out of the building.
Yeah.
And it was a good break for a little while. But I came back, got to see the last half of the Ellefson show. And
I will say this about my performance at the podcaster jam. What I lack in skills and abilities as a singer, I make up for in style and shoes.
Yeah, you had the it's got to be the shoes.
Couldn't have done it without them.
So did you go? You went to the Ellefson show, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what did you got? Did you head back to the room after that was over?
No, because then, well, yeah.
Oh, you went up to Ian and Ralph's room.
After it was over, then we went to my wife went back to the room, and I hung out there for a minute and had a cold beer and quiet, you know, it's like just reflection. And then I was like, well, I got to go find this infamous room 805.
Right.
And so then, because that's where everybody knew the party was at. That's where everyone said 805, 805. I was like, cool.
That's where the hookers and blow were.
That's where Ian and Ralph are at. That's where the party is.
Yeah.
So I headed on up to 805 and I went in and popped in with them for a little bit. But then I was pretty wiped out from the day. So then, you know, after drinking all night then too, and I was like, okay, I've had enough too at this point. So then I guess I just missed you because after I left, then they said your brother showed up.
Yep.
And then Eric was there hanging out. And then right after that, you came up. So I just missed you guys.
So for me, the Ellefson show ends and I go back to the green room area. And this is like one of the coolest things because like I'm the organizer, so I don't have to worry about somebody going, you can't come back
right,
here.
Yeah.
And I'm back there, and it's Michael Sweet, Tony Harnell, David Ellefson, Jason Bieler, the residency guys, Ricky Dover Jr., like Brian Forsyth, pretty much every guest was back there hanging out and just taking photos and stuff. And that was cool. And like I got to take a photo with Ellefson and Michael Sweet and Tony and everything. And I looked at my brother. I was like, the 12-year-old version of me is freaking out right now.
Yeah, totally.
I'm hanging out with these guys.
Yeah.
And I'll never be Eddie Trunk. I'll never think that I'm on the same level as I was just as a fan, just blown away by that. And we're all hanging out, and I'm hearing
you invented Michael Sweet doing a Van Halen song.
That's true. Yeah, it's my it's my invention. But that was fun. And then my wife and Michael Sweet's wife, they became like fast friends that night, and they're all talking and everything. And I could tell they're both sick of listening to everyone tell war stories and stuff. And Michael Sweet's wife looks at my wife. She's like, "You want to go get a drink at the bar?" She's like, "Yeah." So they walk off, and then
that's cool.
Me and Michael Sweet and Tony Harnell are walking behind them. And I'm like, "What world, what planet am I living on where my wife and Michael Sweet's wife are hanging out and I'm walking with these two guys down the hall?" So then we went down to the bar, and like we're all hanging out at the bar together just talking. And you know, Michael Sweet told me about his time in Boston and some cool behind-the-scenes stories that I cannot share on a microphone, but interesting stuff. And Tony Harnell's telling stuff about, you know, that he actually was considered for that job with Boston for a while, and said that, like, he, if the, of any classic rock band, that he could be a replacement singer, that would be the one he'd want. A lot of cool stories, and we're having these great talks around the bar, and there's a whole table of podcasters behind us, and Joshua Toomey was drunk off his ass, and he kept coming over making ridiculous jokes and stuff, but it was so funny to listen to. He just had way too much to drink, but he was hilarious. But we did that for a while, and then but as time went on, I was like, and this tells me where my priorities are so screwed up. I'm like, I really want to go to Ian and Ralph's room. So I break away from Michael Sweet, Tony Harnell, and all these people. Like, I'm going to go up to Ian and Ralph's room. And I got there like right after you guys had left, and Ralph was like passed out on the bed.
Yeah.
But we woke him up, and mostly because I was like, there's that Three Sides fucking traitor. And that woke him up. Yeah. Go ahead and stir the pot. But yeah, he woke up, and we all just said we were watching the replay of them doing the Twisted Sister song on the TV and stuff, and a lot of beer got drank that. I can't believe I drank so much Sunday because I was hungover from Saturday. But yeah, I don't think I got to sleep till maybe close to 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, and that was the end of my night for Saturday.
And then we got up Sunday and did stuff too. We went to the Wind Down.
Yeah. Before that, though, I had a crisis for a little while because I got up and, checkout time was noon.
Yeah.
I'm walking around at 10 o'clock and I was like, and Andy, our sound guy, has these two giant Pelican cases of his gear that I've got to ship and still have to ship back to FedEx. And I was going to take it with me along with a bunch of gear that I had to return to SIR. Kind of ironic that I had to go to SIR on Monday. But, considering what took place there Saturday.
We'll talk about that on VIP.
Yeah, you'll hear that on the Patreon. But then I look at my key fob, and my wife took the set of keys that has the key that I needed to load my stuff. And she's not answering her phone. Because she had left at like 9 o'clock in the morning. And I'm blowing her phone up. I'm texting her. I'm sending her Facebook messages. And also my daughter's phone died broke like a week before. So I can't go through her. I don't have a phone number for anyone in the neighborhood. I'm like, I'm going to sit here in this fucking lobby all day long because I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. And I'm sitting there guarding, you know, thousands of dollars worth of music gear. So, but finally she got back to me and she goes, "All right, I guess I'm on my way back." So she came back, we loaded up both cars, and, I found out that the thing that Ken was hosting was like 2 miles down the road.
Right.
So thank God, because I was thinking I was going to have to go all the way back to my house, unload, then come back. And I was like, well, it's going to make a lot more sense if I just go to Ken's thing for a little while and then we leave. And, we went over to Ken's thing and that was cool.
I went back to the house, dropped off all my stuff because I only lived probably 10 minutes away from the hotel.
Right.
And then went back and picked up the guys from Cobras of Fire.
Yeah.
The Baco and Loose Cannon. And then we went over to the Wind Down thing. And they're a pretty cool thing over there. They had Hannah Fairlight along with Jeremy Asprock. And they were doing like storytellers, kind of an acoustic thing.
Yeah, they were great.
And man, you know, I always look at Jeremy Asprock. And he's, to me, one of the greatest rock guitarists out there today. But man, when he's ripping lead solos on that acoustic guitar, it's like, man, he can play the hell out of that thing too.
Yeah, he's a great player.
Amazing player.
And Hannah's voice is something else.
Yeah. It was really cool.
But they did that, and
I got to do Fun Size.
As I say, and then Aaron got brought up on stage.
That
was
one of the funnest things all weekend.
To do the game show.
Fun Size with Ken, because it was perfect. Like the comedic timing between Ken and myself. Could have been better.
You were great at that. Yeah. Like he asked some off the wall question to somebody else, and you're like, "That's one."
Yeah.
Every time he'd ask a question having nothing to do with the game, that's another one.
Yeah, you guys, if I'm going to brag on anything, it's my appearance on the Ken Mills Fun Size Show. So when he releases that, please do check it out because I had a blast with it.
Yeah, we can't give away what the answer was.
No, you can't give away the answer because it's just too perfect.
Yeah.
It's just too perfect.
It went down pretty funny.
You got to hear it for yourself.
So then everybody loaded up, and poor Ian Wadley, I had like my seats pushed down because I had all this gear in the car, and he was like, I can fit in there. So he's like crams himself into this thing with the seat down. There's not even a seat. He's just like this crammed in the car. And I'm like, are you sure you want to ride like this? He's like, yeah, I'm fine.
That's like Baco and Luce trying to squeeze into the Camaro.
I'm sure that was an adventure.
Two tall guys, man. They're all pinched in there.
Yeah.
All bad for them.
And then the party moved to my house, and I don't remember much of that because I got so drunk.
The podcast Illuminati party happened at your place, but we didn't record none of it.
I wasn't thinking about recording. I just wanted to kick back and hang out. Yeah. And then plus, there's a lot of stories that aren't safe for the microphone and told at that get together every year.
You're telling me? I think I was the only sober one.
Yeah, you were the only sober one. So yeah, so that was there was a lot of good stuff. We had Ian and Ralph from Rock and Metal Combat, Bushy from Bushy and the Mountain Man, his girlfriend and daughter, Loose Cannon and Baco from Cobras and Fire.
So good to see Bushy, man.
Yeah,
I had a good time talking to him. Back this year, and such a great dude.
Yeah, he's
a
good guy
to hang out with. I mean, how many other people did I meet that weekend? TikTok man was super.
He's
cool.
A trip.
I really liked him.
Yeah, and he was there year one.
I feel bad that there's no way that I'm going to be able to mention everybody, but the weekend was such a blur, but I had so much fun hanging out with so many different people from just people that just happened to be there that I never met before to people that have been on Decibel Geek podcast with us before. Sonny Pooney,
Sonny's a great guy.
I mean, and Steve and his wife, Jen, and, Joe Polo and Jody Havnot, and the list goes on and on. And there's no way I could list everybody unless I sat down and tried to put together a list.
Yeah,
we ain't got time to do.
And
right
I'm sure
now.
We're leaving out a ton of people.
I know we are.
And I know we are.
And
so
I'm gonna feel terrible. About
well,
it
I
we're
do
done.
Too. But please,
so just know we love you.
Yeah, I love everybody who was a part of this thing this year. And Punk and Judy from the Electric Crush. That was their first year.
Yeah, they were super cool.
They had a great time.
Lot.
So. Having first year podcasters
got
in
to
too.
Sign their big giant poster thing.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Oh, that was a great idea on their part. Yeah, I thought that was cool. And also I got to thank all the staff, the volunteers that helped out. Of course, my wife and my daughter Tracy, Christine, Erica, Zach. Zach was a huge
Zach
help
was,
all weekend, and I
cool
can't
dude,
thank
I'm
him
glad
enough.
You met him.
Yeah, he did everything I asked him for, even
and then some.
Yeah, and then some. And just a ton of great helpers that we had all weekend, and I hope you all will consider helping out next year. So, and yeah, I guess I can make it clear that there's going to be a next year. Like last year, there was some question about it, but
the longer we sit here, the more people I remember. Kimchi Chris,
great seeing him again. But yeah, I'm working through things with the hotel, and we're hoping to be back at that same place next year and get a date locked in soon. But
right on.
But yeah, stay tuned, and there also might be a Rockin' Pod podcast that you might be able to get in the coming weeks.
Really?
So yeah, something that a few of us are working on that might be a cool side thing that it'll probably be done through Patreon or something like that. But
right,
we got 3 years worth of material to use, and also good, like an insider thing, but it's too early to really talk much about that. But but yeah, we're working on it, and but yeah, there's too much momentum really to stop now, so we kind of have to keep going forward.
And that's good news.
Yeah.
I like that a lot because every year seems like it's a little more fun than the year before.
Yeah.
And so it's always a blast. But like I said, my only requests for future years is we move Kissmas in July to a different time of year.
That's a good idea.
So it doesn't interfere with Rockin' Pod. I also request to be cloned.
Yeah, me too.
And
multiple times.
And that's it. Otherwise, it was perfect. It was great.
Well, let's do it again in a year.
And what's really exciting is now that it's over, it's time for us to really kick some ass here on our own show. So we got some really cool stuff planned for you guys coming up in the future. We've got guests that are coming up that have donated to Rockin' Pod. So, those are always a lot of fun. That's how we got our Japanese metal podcast last year. And that one turned out so good.
It was great.
It's always great when somebody else comes up with the subject, comes on with us, and then we just go with it and have fun.
Because we like to be educated as well.
Right. So we got some of that stuff coming up. You know you've got a year in review coming your way.
Yeah, we have to get on that soon.
Yes. So we'll pick a year. Maybe you guys can give us some suggestions on the Facebook page or something, whatever.
And
check out Rock and Ron at Decibel Geek TV. I know he never stops. He couldn't make it to Rock and Pod this year. He was a little under the weather.
Yeah.
But, man, that guy's always putting out fresh content on Decibel Geek TV on the YouTube.
And Adam Cox on the Facebook.
You know, get out there and share that stuff. If you see something on there on the Facebook page that you think one of your friends would dig, take a moment to share it. You know, that means a lot to Coxie. It means a lot to us.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so I think that wraps it up pretty well, right?
Yeah, the Rockin' Pod hangover is over. The afterglow's still here a little bit. And we're ready to keep rocking into the future. So you guys stick with us because details for Rockin' Pod 4 right around the corner. You ready, Chris?
No.
Man.
What's up?
Awesome. Every mother's nightmare.
Made it.
Yeah. You guys are back. You've been a part of the Rock and Pod Expo experience with us these past few years, man. What do you think? What do you think of the growth of this?
Man, between, what was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I didn't even know where I was going this morning when I got into town. Bill finally said, he goes, Airport Marriott. I was like, wow. So I got here. I was like, man, we jumped up. So it's very cool. I love it, man. I had a... both times I've been here, had a blast. Everybody's cool. It's about music.
And yeah,
doing music shit. So I love it.
Well, you guys are really on a roll lately. I mean, since you come back, you've been really heavily active.
Just trying to do. You know, I did my record deal and everything I've done ass backwards. You know, so I had to learn as I went and. My band's good. I got we're about 8 songs in on a new record.
Oh, good.
The last one was killer.
So thank you. I mean, as you know, from my first record, which wasn't killer, it was just my first record. I did 13 shows, and next thing I know, I was doing $30 recording sessions, and then I was doing a $300,000 recording session.
Wow. Yeah.
Didn't know what the hell we were doing, but you know, somebody offer you a big old record deal, you're going to sign it and jump on it until it bucks you. So it's good now, though, man. I learned a lot, and the new record's real good. I'm having more fun playing now than I've ever, because the bands, that you're not pigeonholed into ballad or
sure,
you got to be this. You know, just good stuff's out there.
That's pretty cool. I think because Every Mother's Nightmare kind of come up in a tough time.
We were always labeled as an 80s band and a ballad band because that's what you had to do to get something on the radio back then.
But you guys basically came out, you're really truly, if you looked at it, I'd consider you guys to be more of a 90s band, really, as far as the time you came out. But you got thrown in with what was already on being pushed out.
I don't know how many people come, man, you are just like Skid Row. I was like, how you get Skid Row out of the way I talk? For one, or the way I sing, I love Skid Row. Don't get me wrong.
But they probably just equated like, man, you know, Skid Row rocks, and you guys rock too. You know, I wouldn't take
tried.
That as a.
But our new record, man, it is. I'm so happy with it. I can't even wait. But it's about 3 weeks. The first single is coming off of it, and it's pretty good.
And you're on the with the High Vol Music Group.
Yeah, man, that was everything I ever deal I've ever done. I met Bill Chavis. The first time I played the Tornado Fest down in I can't even remember what it's called now. But I met Bill Chavis years and years ago, and we tried to do something after our Arista deal went down, and couldn't get it to work out. And just years and years later, we run into a mutual friend, and I'd done the little EP. The Grind EP was just 5 songs, and my friend told him about it, and he heard a piece of it and called me and said, let's finish it. I love it. He just lets us do what we do.
Right on.
You know, there's nobody saying, you got to write this. I mean, everyone I was with there the whole time after Love Can Make You Blind, that's all the fuck they wanted was,
yep.
Yeah, you love to make your mind. It's done. It's over, right? You know, so
yeah, the record company, especially back then, it seemed like it's like this works, so we just have
to keep doing it.
Yeah, like, well, man, but then really, especially if you think about that time, you know, there were, that's where like grunge was starting to really.
Oh yeah,
come
we
in
were out
popular.
On the road and we were watching that shit happen.
But
you
that's
know?
Also a time when Firehouse is winning Grammys. You know, so
right.
It's that weird in between.
Yeah,
so
but that
they're
song
looking at you,
there was
right. That's
that
what
song.
I'm saying. So for you, you know, they're looking at you going, "Well, this ain't Nirvana. This ain't Pearl Jam,
right?
But
so this ain't shit.
But it's not. But so you guys need to become Firehouse, you know,
right.
Come out with this sweet syrupy ballad that's going to be a Grammy Award winning song. And if you don't got it in your heart to do that, I mean, what can you do?
I haven't lived a Grammy Award winning life. I've lived. I put this band together a mile down the road. I moved here and lived in a 10x20 store all unit for 4 months and shit in a cup.
In Nashville?
Yeah.
Really?
Shit in a coffee, like shit in a Mrs. Winter's cup.
What part of town were you guys in at that time?
I was in Antioch.
Antioch, yeah. Yeah, because I remember, I don't...
We were right down the road from bowling alley. I'd go down there and hang out with Tanya Tucker and drunk and shit, yeah.
Wow.
Because I had friends in high school, like older kids, right around the time you guys were here.
Well,
and some of them got to go hang out with you guys at rehearsal. And
oh,
like,
man, we, it was
yeah,
awful.
Yeah, like, we partied hard with every other's nightmare.
Hey, our rehearsal, that little 10 by 20, by the time I moved out of it, I swear to God, you'd look at the carpet and there was ants and just everything. I moved in there with a sleeping bag, a guitar, and a black and white TV. And
wow.
Played 13 shows, went to Memphis, and... and then just started to have to figure shit out.
What was the decision to move to Memphis?
We did our little 13 shows around here, and there was a producer, Eli Ball, did our first record. They had the Memphis Producer Showcase, which it was sort of like, what's the thing they do down in Texas? You know, it's just like where all the bands come in.
South by Southwest?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
know? Okay.
And we went down there and played for him one night, and we just did a... like a 45-minute just rock us wide open
yeah.
set, and the next day he put us on last at the Producer Showcase. Just
mm-hmm.
you know, the New Daisy was here and the Proud Mary's right next door, and we put like 700 people on Proud Mary's, and
wow.
And we'd only been there once, and the next morning we were sitting with ASCAP and talking to Clive Davis and people
wow.
like that, and you know, people were like, "Hey man, here's a big wad of money," and we're like, That's different.
Yeah.
So I like that. That works.
So at that point, you're just like, we're just going to base out of Memphis from
yeah,
this point
just,
on.
Yeah, I just stayed there, and I moved back here for a minute, and then I'm from Knoxville, and there's just no music scene in Knoxville. It's just
right.
about the Vols, and that's all cool. But,
yeah.
I couldn't find a way to play with there, and the only thing I could find up there was dope, and I had to get out of that. So.
Right.
I just came back down to Memphis. And been there ever since, you know.
But that's that scene with you guys, Tora, Roxy Blue.
Oh, man, it was awesome.
It sounded like a pretty exciting
time.
Oh,
there was a time there. There was a couple other bands there that got deals. And, you know, my buddy Damon Johnson from Brother Kane,
yeah.
He was down there doing his thing. And just all kind of people, you know. We were hanging out at Ardent with people like Greg Allman recording and ZZ
wow.
Top. And, you know, just all kind of crazy shit. And, it's a good place,
yeah.
man. I went to that town. I was like, man, it's Wednesday. You're at a rock club. There's fucking 400 people
That's
in it.
That's wild.
All the bands were cool. And,
nice.
You know, it wasn't, you know, trying to cutthroat everybody.
Right.
It was everybody helping, you know, borrowing gear and whatever, and everybody living in everybody's house. And it's just a good place, you know.
Yeah.
Anthony and Todd, man, I see them guys every week. You know, they're good as gold. I bust their ass. And they're good.
I've been impressed with all the guys from all three bands.
Anthony Corder's he's just a good. Not to mention he can sing his ass off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's that, and then he's just
a
good
guy,
man.
Yeah. And I saw the three band bill you guys did at that amphitheater down in Mississippi.
Oh, and it was the most. I was like, man, when we were playing, I was like, we. 22 years and we never played together. We were all the time bouncing around and partying together and doing all that. Never
really?
Played together.
Wow.
I went out with Tora. Well, we've been out with them. Man, we were out on the road with them when they left Atlantic, man. And, that was a weird shot. It was like I was watching my future happen, you know.
Right.
But, you know, they said, Anthony, he's good. He's keep on rolling. And,
mm-hmm.
That's the kind of shit that keeps you going, you know. Hell, I went through my drugs and all my bullshit that I went through, and people like him, you know, I'd see him, he went through the same shit, and I was like, well, he pulled his shit up and got his shit together. So
right.
That's awesome.
And that's all you can do, is you can either die or just float on off, and I got some shit more I got to do. So,
well, that show was great, but damn, is it cold at that show.
God.
I couldn't believe how cold it was. Everyone was freezing their asses off, and it was unseasonably cold.
Oh, like, yeah. It was like
warm
the
whole week.
The only day that it was that, the only day that whole time it was that cold. I was on stage in a coat like this, right beside stage.
Well, when you performed, you were right there in a t-shirt, and I was like, yeah,
I took that
somebody,
I carried it right to the drum riser and put it right to the drum riser, and I said, as soon as I'm done, that somebody's going back up. It was crazy cold.
Great concert. But yeah, it's cool to see all three bands back and, you know,
my boy Jeffrey, you know, Jeffrey played with us for years, man.
Yeah.
I did one of my best, one of our best records, when I started getting clean and my head together and started writing. We did Smoke and Delta Voodoo, me, Jeff Karn, and Travis Hall, and Troy. And, you know, I see him playing with them guys now. It's good to see him.
Yeah.
You know, he was giving me shit the other day, but he goes, man, you're putting out all these old songs that we were, I said, man, nobody ever heard them. They came out on Paris, and he did what he could, but he couldn't put them out nowhere. Bill said, man, let's put these out. There's some good songs on there.
Yeah.
I was scared to death because Backtracks, I swear, I probably recorded that well over 20 years ago. And recording has changed a lot since those days.
Oh, yeah.
And, so I said, well, let me listen to it, man, because I don't. And I said, man, there's still some pretty good stuff on there.
That's cool. Yeah. I always love that when you got a band that you liked for a long time, and then you find out, here's some songs that would have went along with this album or that album.
Right. And that's what on every album I've been trying to take, like whatever we were doing in our little studio or whatever we were, you know, just kind of demoing for the next record, and whatever don't make it, I've been putting like 3 or 4 or 5, you know, even if they're just us in the practice room just with a little recorder.
Right.
Just put them on there just to, because every time I listen to it, I go, damn, I forgot all about that.
Right. Yeah.
It's cool,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fans like that stuff too.
Oh, yeah, man, sure. It's just, it kind of just shows where we're going, and the new record, this is this, so we've went from podunk to kind of a pissed off mechanical podunk, but it's pretty cool.
Pissed off mechanical podunk.
Yeah, oh, I don't know. It's just cool.
Is that a Grammy category?
I don't know.
Year in best mechanical podunk.
Right. It's just fun because, you know, you can do music, you know.
Yeah.
You have the freedom to do what you want to do, make it what you want it to be.
I figure if you don't live it, then you can't write it. And that's what, you know, Steven Tyler said, if you haven't lived through shit, you can't write about shit.
So that's true.
That's true. So, otherwise, it comes off as posers and contrived.
That's cool. So that's the next thing on the list, is a new record, right?
Yeah, we already started the next first single off of it. Comes out in about a month.
Nice.
Awesome.
We'll look forward to that. We'll share it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm so happy with it. It's by far the best recording that we've ever done, I've ever done. So
wow.
My band is incredible. My new drummer is great. We've all lived in Memphis, and I don't know how I've missed this guy.
Yeah.
Never met him one time, but he's played all. We've just kind of done like this. And first night I met him, I kept forgetting he was a drummer because he don't look like a drummer. He don't act like a drummer. He don't do that. And I kept forgetting he was a drummer, and he came over to the house first night. And we'd had one dude there. He was trying out. He'd been there for a week, and we still haven't made it through 3 songs. And Alan came in there and burnt through 5, and then we did 3 with him just kind of listening for a second. And
nice.
I was like, me and him are just on this, he's on the same beat as me or whatever you want to call it. So I like it. I said, you ever leave, I'll kill your ass. My guitar, it's different. What's cool about it is it's 5 different or 4 different guys. Troy's been with me 24 years, but it's just kind of cool because it's a little, it's still us, but it's, you know, these different little flavors in there. Guitar player John, he is just left field. Anytime you think what he's going to play solo wise, it just comes out totally left field, and it's cool as mess, but it catches you off guard. And I mean, it's just, I just feel like we're getting to create now, you know, getting to make shit. And
That's cool.
I like it.
Right
cool.
on.
Well,
very
keep
awesome.
Us posted on the new record.
Yeah, we're always excited. Yeah. Always excited to hear about new Every Mother's Nightmare music coming
well,
out.
I will let you talk about it. I'm happy as hell about it.
Right on.
I've been drinking beer today. I'm trying to sober up.
Right on. Do you feel like today, maybe Every Mother's Nightmare, what you've done, it's you're more revered today than you were when what they'd consider your heyday?
You know,
I do you feel more appreciated?
I think so, but we had to go through, like I said, we started out just ripping, gripping, not knowing shit. So this whole thing, when I got this band together, we did the grind record. Every show we've done and everywhere we played, we've just really honed in on making sure that we can play it and do it, pull it off the best we can, and pull the shit off live. And, mm-hmm. and that's how we're getting to do shit, because, you know, you're only as good as your last fucking show. And,
yeah,
that's all. We're just a live band. We no soundtracks, no nothing. We're just a rock band and grip it and rip it, and it's good. And I like it.
Well, if that's the case, man, keep them coming.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna do it till I die, or my woman kicks me out. One.
Well, thanks for your time today.
Awesome, man.
Thank you guys, man. Right, I've had a blast today.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
If I can get all the way back to Memphis without going to jail, I'll be good.
Powder may, you know the things we had, the things you lied and had. It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.